Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. And we're in the studio, and I'm so excited today to have not only somebody that I admire and think is just so amazing, but she's also someone who looks up to me, which is really crazy because it makes me feel like I'm really old, but I'm not. I have in the studio the beautiful Samika Alexander, a.k.a. Coach Millie. How are you today?
Hello, Monique. How are you?
I'm really, really good. I just want you to start off by telling everyone a little bit about yourself. I don't want to give my opinion. I want you to tell them who you are from your mouth.
All right. Do we want the long version or the short version?
We're going to do the really short version because I got a bunch of questions for you. So don't give it all away.
All righty. So my name is Samika Alexander. I also go by Coach Millie. I am a certified life coach. I also do some financial education for youth. In addition to that, I am a financial services professional.
That sounds really cool. I don't even think I knew the last one. Where are you originally from?
So I am from Toledo, Ohio, born and raised. I am a first-generation grad.
Where'd you start off from your childhood to college?
Well, we moved around a lot when I was little, so I did a tour. I went from Springfield to Old Orchard. I did a little bit of time at Stewart Elementary. I spent some time at DeVoe Junior High, Start, and Rogers High School.
Okay. Where'd you end up going to college?
I went to Davis University.
Nice. And what did you graduate with?
Associates in Business Management.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. How do you feel like all that Toledo background shaped who you are today?
Well, if I'm being honest, I had the opportunity to see a lot of different people at a lot of different levels in life. My mother married young. It's nine of us. We were middle class, but we were poor middle class. So I got to see a lot of people in different stages of their life. I think that made me really open to different perspectives of people in their journeys.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably how you ended up in the career.
Yes.
And we'll get to that. You wrote an inspirational book, Beating the Odds, The Blueprint to Becoming. I'd love to talk about that with you. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Okay. All right. So let's get into it. Your story is incredibly inspiring, you know, because it's like really emotional. And I just want to let you know that if you feel like you got to pause or cry, don't be shy because this is a family environment. Okay. What was the hardest part for you to share your story, and why was it important to share it anyway?
The hardest part in sharing was the failures, the feeling like I'm not living up to society norms, the just being vulnerable. I mean, when you are the strong friend, when you are the go-to person, when you are the person that's constantly showing up and your world is falling apart, it gets heavy. I had to learn how to say, I don't know how to process this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this moment. So I think it was important to share that because as someone I would say is pretty strong, it was a breaking point for me.
And what triggered that breaking point, if you don't mind sharing with the audience?
Well, I was navigating several different things. I had lost my soon-to-be fiancé 4 weeks before the birth of our son. So I went from living this life I worked so hard to create to instantly shatter what's next. I found myself trying to navigate postpartum, high-functioning depression, on top of grief. And again, when you don't have the language for that, or you don't have the tools, it's really hard. And especially when you're the one that people typically go to. So who does the go-to person go to?
Exactly. You talk about moving from survival mode to truly becoming. How did you recognize that you were simply surviving? And what did it take for you to make a shift from that?
I think the moment I realized I was just surviving was when I was giving and giving and giving, and literally there was nothing left for me. I would say pouring from an empty cup. So I needed to start to place boundaries for myself to bring myself back to self.
An example, like what kind of boundaries?
For example, taking time out and just really sitting with myself and assessing, okay, what is it that I really need in this moment? Sometimes it was rest. Sometimes it was just a moment to
breathe.
Be.
I understand. And sometimes we don't know how to say no.
No, and oh God. Yeah, I did a lot of people pleasing. And, you know, just sitting down, the book offers a lot of reflection prompts. I put a lot of those questions in the book because it was actual questions that I asked myself. Okay, what am I doing when I'm not doing for everybody else? That's actually for myself. Who am I when I'm not showing up performing?
So much of your personal growth involves letting go of people, expectations, or even old versions of ourselves. What were some of the things that you had to release to become who you are today?
The main thing was the people pleasing. The main thing is thinking I could be everything to everybody. A lot of it was, you know, letting go of some of the people who were not in alignment with my growth. Some of it was doing things that were more intentional and more in alignment with what I saw for myself.
That sounds like a really powerful realization.
Yeah. It's life-changing. It's very transformative.
Your BAM method, Breakthrough Alignment Manifestation, and it's also another acronym. Can you remind me?
Being Authentically Me.
Yep, Being Authentically Me, BAM, is central to your teaching. What does that look like in practice for someone who feels like they're stuck right now?
So I like to simplify things. So the B, the breakthrough, is basically just becoming more aware. It's understanding, okay, this is what I have going on. You're noticing some of the patterns. You're getting clarity on what you have going on. Alignment, you're being honest about it. You're getting in alignment, okay, this is what I have going on. This is what I would like to do to get here. And you're making your intentions match your patterns and what you say. The manifestation part of it is just literally alignment in motion. Is when your actions, your intent are moving towards what the goal is.
For someone who appears to be the strong one on the outside, but is struggling internally, what is the most important thing that you'd want them to hear right now?
I think the most important thing I would like for them to hear, there is support out there. There are tools, there are resources, and you're not alone. It's okay to ask for help. And it's okay to take some time to get yourself together. It's hard to do for someone else when you're not in tip-top shape.
In the time frame that, you know, your child's father had passed away and you had your children, and you said, like, you couldn't call anybody and nobody knew what was going on. Right now, even we could hear, you know, the pain that you're experiencing, even now talking about it. What are some of the coping mechanisms?
So for me, with losing my son's father, someone I thought I would spend the rest of my life with, it was literally life-changing. Because it's one thing when you show up in all these places, and some of these places you don't even feel seen. You don't feel appreciated. You're constantly trying to prove that you're enough. And then you can go home to somebody and they see you and accept you and love you for exactly who you are. That does something to identity. So for me, it's an everyday thing. I'm healing every single day. No day looks the same. No day looks the same. But just being able to say, today is one of those days. Today is one of those days. So in honor of him, it's the sitting with. It may be writing a letter and releasing it or putting it in a drawer. You know, I do a lot of journaling. The BAM method is actually in honor of him. I don't know if I mentioned that. So,
what do you want to share his name?
His name was Scotty. They called him BAM Hopings. But I named that framework after him with the intent that I have something to prove to my son that he was real. His life mattered. He had a purpose. So that's where that came from. I will say grief is hard. It's something you learn to live with. It's not linear. It's not something you graduate from or you get over it. It's something that you take with life. It becomes a part of you.
Well, I do appreciate you taking the time and the energy and the strength to not only come here today, but to share your gifts with others, because I'm sure that that had an influence on you wanting to help other people through their traumas and their grief and things like that.
Absolutely. I tell everybody, I didn't write a book to tell my story. I wrote the book with the intent that it would help someone else in some of the things that I navigated and how I navigated them. I was trying to provide a source that I didn't have at the time.
You definitely have inspired me. You've inspired others. I know, like, recently you had a book signing and it was hard to get through the questions. I did help moderate that, and I almost started crying.
Yeah.
And I felt like more people should hear your story, because this is very powerful, and I really appreciate you. It took a lot of bravery to share this.
Yeah, I think the book signing was amazing. We were able to bring over 60 people in a room, and the feedback that I got afterwards was absolutely, absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, the emails, the texts from different people, oh my God, I experienced this, or you made me feel seen. It's so relatable. I had no idea that I wasn't the only one experiencing this, or, you know, that in itself was enough for me to feel like writing this book and sharing my story was worth it, because it was really hard writing it. And the book sat for 3 years because, again, you don't, as much as we don't want to admit, we like to be seen a certain way. So I shared a lot of things in this book for the first time. I mean, things I couldn't even verbally say. So my family, friends, everybody who has read the book or will read the book are going to see different parts of me, and that's kind of hard.
It's a challenging thing to talk about, and, you know, I know a lot of people have lost people, and definitely want to make sure that everybody knows the name of your book, because I know we've been talking about it.
Oh, the name of my book is Beating the Odds, The Blueprint to Becoming.
Just know you could find it.
Yeah, it's available everywhere.
Just use it as a tool.
Yes.
It has tools in there to help. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.